This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Preview Show.
Time for the 1874 podcast, even. It's time for a preview show as Aston Villa take on Tottenham in a huge, huge game on Sunday. And obviously the way I've done that intro has made out how important it is as I tripped over everything I was supposed to say. Obviously nervous ahead of the huge game. I'm joined by Sky Sports News' David Reid, one of my favourite people in the whole universe, to talk through the game. David, how are you? Where have you been this week? Last week you were in Luton. I don't think you've been anywhere exciting this week.
Well, you say that. Wolverhampton. Oh,
okay. Wolverhampton, what for?
Wolverhampton, yeah. I spoke to Gary O'Neill today. That was my little day out today. And I'm back down south on the same day.
In the Midlands, didn't tell me he was there yet again. I've been trying to get David for a night out in the Midlands for a long time and I just can't get it to happen.
It was just a quick return trip, that's okay. All. Just a real quick in and out jobby.
It's been noted that when Tom White asks him to do something, he always seems to magically be around, I've noticed, on social media. So I'm getting a little bit paranoid about Dave Reid not wanting to hang about with me unless it's the transfer window and we are working together. Right, Dave, there's no denying how huge this game is. I did a Spurs preview earlier. I jumped on a Spurs show and got absolutely...
How did that go for you?
Oh, I ripped to pieces. Ripped to pieces in the comments. You can't see it at the moment, but I hung a Harry Kane Bayern Munich shirt next to my Tyrone Mings shirt there. And I thought, Harry Kane. I thought that's closest to a Spurs shirt I've got. I'll make it topical and I'll put the Harry Kane shirt. No, that was a mistake. I got no one cares what I actually said and that I was really nice about Spurs throughout the show. They just care that I put that Harry Kane shirt up and that I was on the wind-up, apparently. So it didn't go well, but I enjoyed jumping on and previewing the show anyway. So previewing the game, sorry. So I feel warmed up, even though I am tripping over everything I'm supposed to be saying. Is this the biggest game of the season? We played Manchester United at Villa Park a few weeks ago, and that felt really, really big. When we played Man City at home, that felt huge, and it was a brilliant game. Now we're at this point of the season, getting towards the business end. This is huge, isn't it? This is the biggest game.
Yeah, I'd say so. As you say, you know, we've discussed a few times when we've come up against big opposition, Man City, Arsenal, the two games really against Manchester United as being really key games. And this one is right up there, probably the most important game of the season so far, because if you win and get 3 points, it puts a little bit of distance between us and Tottenham. And, you know, it kind of gives them a bit of a blow, really, and gives them a bit of a setback in terms of a chase for top four. So it's absolutely it is big, and I think, you know, if Villa win, you're looking up rather than down after the result on Sunday if you get 3 points.
Yeah, obviously they've got that game in hand, but that game in hand is also against Chelsea, which is a game that they never ever do well at away at Chelsea. I don't think they've won there for a long, long time. I mean, Chelsea are not the Chelsea of old, it's clear to see, but they did go to Tottenham and wipe the floor with them in the end the last time they met. So that's an important thing to bear in mind as well. A draw is not necessarily a bad result for Villa, actually, depending on how it happens. But obviously at home, we want to take Spurs on and we want to beat them like we did last season. For me, Dave, no bias here at all. These are two of the most exciting teams to watch this season, I would say. Both have unique styles of football in the way that they build up, the way they use players both on the ball and off the ball, different systems on the ball and off the ball as well. But really, I think both teams can put a lot of how good they've been this season down to their manager. And I would say that both these teams, both the sets of fans, wouldn't change their managers for anyone, would they?
No, absolutely not. I think you're right as well. You know, a lot of football in the Premier League, you know, can be a little bit too controlled. Manchester City spring to mind. Arsenal like to control games. Liverpool, maybe not so. But actually, Tottenham and Villa, although Unai Emery, I'm sure, would like to control games for 90 minutes if he could, actually bring a little bit of chaos, which is quite nice.
And he does that, doesn't he? And there's the odd game where he does do that. He's done it Brighton, you think Newcastle last season as well. Yeah. I've got a little feeling he's going to have something up his sleeve for this one.
Yeah. There's certain games where, you know, Emery will set Villa up to be high octane and, you know, all over the place and all over the opposition. And it feels like he does pick and choose that, you know, Newcastle home game that you speak about, the Brighton game, you're right, I think was exactly the same. Could we see something similar on Sunday? Quite possibly. You know, not to say they were leaving stuff in the tank on Thursday night, but it did feel like, you know, there was a bit of conservation of energy there at certain times in the game against Ajax. And from a Tottenham point of view, you know, I think a lot of people predicted from the start of the season that Spurs would score a lot of goals and concede a lot of goals. And that is almost how it's transpired. You know, they are quite open at the back. And by that, I mean vulnerable, I would say, to the counter-attack at times, just simply because of the number of players that they commit forward. And I think, you know, they can be vulnerable when you look at their goals conceded. So it's going to be a great game. I think for the neutral, it's one to tune in for as well, to be honest. I think there'll be goals in it. So let's hope Villa are on the right side of it.
Yeah, what a weekend of football on Sky. I'm not being a company man here, but, you know, the two games that have been chosen for Sunday couldn't have fell any nicer in terms of two teams that are battling for the title and then two teams battling for Champions League football as well. We'll come back onto what you've just said because you've raised a very good point there that I want to expand on. But there's lots of people in the chat as normal. Some good audio reviews for us this week, which is unusual. There's still one person that's not happy that usually Paul S says sound is very low. My sound is at 78 to here, should be 30 normally, but everyone else seems to be okay. So I'm gonna ignore Paul and just assume that it's okay because everyone else seems to be pleased that the audio is working as it should be. Apologies for whatever has happened in the last few shows. Absolutely no idea still. We have tried to investigate and get it fixed. Adam has been beavering away behind the scenes. But I think it's just that Jacob was really not using a microphone and I am. And God knows what Greg's up to in Thailand because he did some strange things when we did the podcast, but it's all working well tonight, so that's brilliant. We've got Peter Graham saying morning from New Zealand. We've got John who's just got back from Amsterdam today. It was epic. Who else have we got? Bainbridge events. I'm not sure what the events are, but yeah, good luck to you with your events. Michael Huggins believes that Villa will win on Sunday. We've got Chad from the Villa Forever podcast. Do go and check out Chad's podcast. Both Dave and myself have appeared on that show, and that's just reminded me that I have not texted Chad back, so I need to do that when this show has finished. He's saying the first goal is very important. We need to start on the front foot. John saying, yes, this is the biggest game because it's the next game. Whatever the result is, doesn't define the season. Connor A is predicting.
Sounds like a manager.
Yeah, really, it's very very manager speak in there. Connor A is predicting a lot of goals. He can see a 3-3. And then we've got a hello from Brazil on X UTV493 and a hi from Cardiff as well. People tuning in from everywhere tonight, Dave. Greg Evans would be proud of this. Truly a global show.
I'm sure there's a few sore heads as well from Amsterdam. The pictures looked amazing of some of the fans in Amsterdam.
Yeah, I just watched Max's video actually before I came upstairs. Really, really good watching him, Simon, and, you know, some scenes of Anton doing karaoke that viewers may find uncomfortable, but do go and watch Villa on Tour because it's a brilliant channel anyway, and he's my mate. But unbelievable video seeing all the Villa fans in, and he said in Cardiff, things like Cardiff on the brand, the Villa fans in Amsterdam. What you just said about Spurs' setup, Dave, they do leave themselves open on the flanks, I've noticed, because the fullbacks invert so much and almost do play like sixes. That can leave space on the flanks. And you do think for this game, ooh, Leon Bailey, he might like this.
Yeah, he might. I think when you look at the away game, you know, as much as Spurs are kind of vulnerable in that position out wide, I think also, you know, that they caused us a lot of problems in the home game simply because of, you know, Udogie in particular, who I think is an outstanding player. And, you know, I'm kind of excited to see the player that he turns into, given the way he's kind of started in the Premier League. But it feels almost almost unfair because there's so many different versions and different types of the so-called inverted fullback. It feels unfair to kind of lump the Spurs ones in and call them like inverted fullbacks. They're almost like underlapping fullbacks. They won't just, you know, sometimes they'll sit alongside whoever the kind of the more broad six is, whether that's Bissouma, Bentancur, whoever that may be. Sometimes they sit alongside them and get involved in the build up, and then sometimes one of them, Udogie in particular, will push himself onto the last line and push himself in between the fullback and the centre back, and that just creates a little bit of confusion in the back line. Who's going to pick him up? Who's going to pick up the winger who's outside of them? Some probably be Werner on the weekend. And it just creates that half a split second of confusion. Udogie can then either run in behind or drop deep to receive the ball. There's rotations with James Maddison. They do a lot of things really well. And you know, they play some really good football. So, and from Spurs' point of view, you've got to say, you know, the way they play at the moment has been a net positive for them. You know, I think that the positives from the what things they've been doing outweighs some of the negatives that comes with that. And yeah, it's just, you know, it's been a great year, really, for Ange Postecoglou. I'm not, when you look at Spurs, you know, you think, well, God, they've got to win a trophy, right? They've got to win a trophy. But I don't really know what the end game is for Ange Postecoglou at the moment. Yeah, obviously, probably they would like a trophy. Of course they would. But to kind of turn that club around, to build the connection with the supporters, that has almost been the most important thing that he's done since he's gone in there. You know, they had the superstar manager. And you just think back to the home game. Last year, Spurs are in a total mess. That game was ridiculous from Tottenham's point of view. We just completely dominated them. And it, you know, it was, I'm not going to say it was sad to see Spurs last year because, you know, Ryan Mason was doing his best at that point. But there was so much negativity around Tottenham at that point. And they were so poor. They didn't know what they were doing. And it feels remarkable, the turnaround from that Spurs team to the team that we're going to face on Sunday.
Yeah, I said about the managers at the top end of the show, but the biggest thing they've probably had to do is drill some enthusiasm back into the fan bases. And you can say about trophies, and trophies are important. I'm not going to sit here and say that they're not. But the biggest things, I think, for the Villa fans and for the Spurs fans is that they genuinely enjoy going to games, watching their team play. It's interesting how they're set up. No game is really the same. They've got, both teams have got players, I think, who the fans can relate to, that the fans like and can get behind. They see that the sets of players are playing for the badge every single week. And sometimes I think, yeah, it's great to win a trophy, but having that every week in some ways is almost more important.
Well, it's the building blocks, isn't it, towards winning things. And, you know, I wonder what Tottenham fans would have said at the start of the season, you know, if it had have been any other manager apart from Ange Postecoglou, if you'd have said to Spurs fans, look, you're not going to finish in the top four, is that, you're not going to win a trophy, you're not going to finish in the top four, is that success? I wonder how many of them would have said, that's absolutely not the required standard and we would need to change manager again. And it's, you know, the fact is that they might not finish in the top four and they won't win a trophy. So, but having said that, the connection is there. They've got a very charismatic manager. There's a connection between supporters to players, supporters to manager. And you're right, it almost doesn't give him a free pass, but it gives him added time, I think. It gives him added time this season, probably gives him added time next season, depending on what they do in the summer transfer window. And you're right, Spurs fans are going to games looking forward to watching their team play, because for so long they've had managers who would like to play on the counter-attack, and it's not been that exciting to watch. And now they've got a manager who is exciting the supporters.
Yeah, I think the big thing is as well, the recent results. Obviously, Manchester United losing two in a row, and we still think that fifth, in all probability, will be enough for Champions League football. Obviously, you want to finish fourth and guarantee it, and that's what I want Villa to do. I said, even when people were saying we're in the title race, give me fourth now. That's what I want. And I do believe that we are the fourth best team in the division, in all honesty. So, you know, that the aim for Villa is fourth, but it could be that fifth is enough as well. And I think if that happens, I think it's good for the Premier League to have those two teams that I think play football in the right way. I know Spurs have been in the Champions League before, but two different teams representing England in the Champions League as well. You know, these are two teams that I think a lot of the country will enjoy watching. So I've got a lot of time for Spurs, and obviously I have a lot of time for Villa as well. Connor A is asking us whether Cash or Concert on the right. I don't know if you're like me, Dave. When I watched the game last night, I felt the first half, the first 45, was a little bit of an insight possibly into how we may line up in defence for this one.
Yeah, I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure.
You always disagree with me, Dave, on the team selection every week.
It felt to me that Cash started on the bench, so he didn't get injured. That felt to me that we want to save him for this game on Saturday. On Sunday. It feels to me that the back four will be Cash, Konsa, Torres, and Moreno. For me on Sunday. I know the reasons why that, you know, people will think that it's probably going to be Konsa, but it just felt to me that, you know, and Cash has played really well. We've said it before. That was just my feeling on team selection. I don't know which way it'll go, but I totally understand the argument for having Konsa at right back again.
I mean, we could both be wrong and Carlos could play, I guess. But I think it'll be Konsa, Longley, Torres, and it's a toss-up between the two left-backs, in all honesty. Maybe it will be Luca Dean for this one. I'm just pleased that we've got the option of those two great left-backs now, because that isn't something that we've had this season at all. I think I did an article about Longley the other day, and I've been talking about him on that Spurs show that I did today as well. I think he's been really good. I think he suffers from not being Pau Torres, but then anyone who you throw in isn't going to be Pau Torres. But I think generally Longley's been a really, really good pickup in an emergency as well, because Villa had to act fast getting someone in when Tyrone Mings got injured. I don't think we could have got a better centre-half in at that point to replace Tyrone Mings. And I actually think in recent weeks, I think he's kind of played himself into the team. I quite like him playing at right centre-back and then having someone tuck in so he becomes the middleman, and Pau Torres on the outside left with the left-back bombing on. I think that works for us.
Yeah, and I think actually, you know, we shouldn't overlook the fact that, you know, Torres obviously came in the summer, but that doesn't mean that, well, that you know, for me, there was going to be a variation there, and there was going to be times where it would be Mings, Torres,
yeah,
and 100% that were playing.
100%.
So we shouldn't kind of not be fooled, but almost kind of forget the fact that Torres was brought in and Mings was fit at the time. And they tried it in pre-season where they had Torres, Mings and Konsa. So that was a plan. So, you know, I don't think it's going to be something totally out of the ordinary that we see a left footer on the kind of right-sided centre-back position. But I think you're right, you know, we couldn't have got a better player at that point in the window, at that point in the season, than Clement Longley. And, you know, he has done very well. I mean, it doesn't mean that we're going to go out and sign him permanently.
No, I don't think we will.
But I think it's unfair if he comes under some harsh criticism, because the fact is you're comparing him to Pau Torres, and Pau Torres has been so good that it's hard for anybody to live up to that. But he's come in and he, you know, for the most part, I think he's been solid, Longley.
He didn't play in the first half of the season either, so it's very difficult to just come in over the hectic festive period and hit the ground running and play your absolute best football. I think he's getting there now because he's had a consistent run in the team.
Yeah, he's grown into the season.
Yeah, we're seeing the best of him. I think we're starting to see the best of him now. But that point you've just made about Mings, I mean, if you do the maths, Villa have got two left-backs, only got one right-back, Matty Cash. That was obviously by design. I don't think Villa were ever in the market for a right-back in the summer. So I think the plan would have been quite a lot of the times to use Konsa at right-back and use Mings where Longley is playing when he's next to Torres. I absolutely think we would have spent the season and seen a lot of games where Villa would have done that. And I think people forget that. So you always kind of scoff at a left-footer playing at right centre-back. But the way we build it from the back, actually, that completely works. And I'm with you. I think, you know, Mings would have played. I think Mings would have played every game. In all fairness, I think having you'd have had Konsa, Mings and Pau Torres on the pitch together more often than not had Mings stayed fit. So Longley, now he's settled in and I think he's playing good football. He's got a chance of staying in, which, you know, Spurs fans won't believe it because he wasn't very good for them. But then nobody was really good in that back line last season under Antonio Conte. That, you know, everyone looked like they were playing at the bottom end of their ability. Now he's playing in a side that, you know, he's successful and doing well and wins most weeks. He's starting to look like the player that went to Barcelona, and you can't go to Barcelona really and be a bad player. So I just think that's one to look out for, whether Longley does keep his place as the season goes on. So selection-wise, I don't really think we can do much else. I tried to watch Emery's press conference on Villa TV, whatever it's called nowadays, earlier, and it defeated me because, yeah, less said about some of that stuff, the better. But Emery didn't really give too much away from the clip that I did see.
No, just the fact that Torres is going to be fit, McGinn's fit.
Yeah.
I don't know whether anyone can update us on Ramsey in the chat, but I think he said that he was going to be okay or potentially.
Someone can tell us. I couldn't decide.
Maybe a doubt, but there's a potential that he's going to be available. Maybe a late check tomorrow.
They usually do the tweets where they actually put a few tweets where they put in what Emery said, but they decided not to do that for whatever reason this week. And then I couldn't get on the full press conference. So yeah, let us know in the chat if Jacob Ramsey is fit. But from what I could see in the comments, that he might be back for next week, but I could have read that completely wrong. So you would assume, Dave, that Morgan Rogers will continue down the left-hand side. I can't think really of anything else we would do. I feel like McGinn has to play as I guess Diaby could play, Tielemans play wide, or Tielemans play middle and McGinn move out wide. Stephen Bell saying JJ would be assessed after training tomorrow. So, okay, maybe he will play. And I need to take some responsibility for Ramsey, because I tried to get ahead of the curve and put him in my fantasy football team a few weeks ago. And then, of course, he gets injured off the back of that. So I need to take some responsibility for that. I just felt a goal was due and it was coming. It's really disappointing with Ramsey, isn't it? Because every time he gets going, it's felt this season. The season's almost been a write-off for him, because every time he's got going, something else has happened and it's set him back. And you know, I was just talking about Tyrone Mings. Obviously, there's Emi Buendia as well. Think about where we would actually be if some of these players had been around all season, because Ramsey was brilliant at the back end of last season. One of our most important players in finishing seventh, I would say. Scored some really, really important goals. Really had him all season. And just as you felt we were getting him back, we'd lost a few players and then Ramsey was back. That was a plus. Gets injured again. So be a boost if he was around on Sunday, I guess. Otherwise, I guess Morgan Rogers will play again.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. We have had Jacob Ramsey, but it's almost, you know, he's been trying to play himself into form and play himself into fitness. And then as soon as he looks like, he looked really close, didn't he, in the last couple of games, really close.
Yeah, felt the
goal. Finding a goal, finding that key pass to really, you know, take his level up again. And it's just so happened that he's picked up another injury. If he was to be fit and available, I think that's really important for him, just to keep his momentum going and to keep that, you know, ticking over of minutes. I'm not sure whether Rogers is going to play, to be honest, simply because he's played two games, pretty much two games in the space of a few days, and there's been travel. And yes, I know he was playing for Middlesbrough, but I'm not sure he's quite ready to almost play three games in a week. I know he didn't start against Luton, but he came on and played the majority of the game. So I'm not too sure, particularly with the way Tottenham play, that he's going to do that. My other thought would then be, you know, does Tielemans move into a wide position and Diaby comes in from the start? I was itching for Diaby to kind of carry on that momentum again from the Luton game after getting the assist for the winner against Ajax. But, you know, it just so happened that not very many of the players against Ajax managed to find their level. So that was unfortunate. So that would be my thought, that maybe Diaby will start, Bailey will come in on the right-hand side, and then Tielemans might go over to the left-hand side, simply because Rogers has had a lot of minutes. And also, we might have to do a lot of defending against Tottenham. And, you know, Rogers, as good as he has looked, you know, there was a vulnerability there for him against Luton as he kind of works his way into Premier League football.
Yeah, I feel that's the only other way we can really go. But then I'd worry about Tielemans on the flanks off the ball against an energetic Tottenham. I like where he's playing at the moment. I think he's playing good football in that position, getting the ball to Ollie Watkins, finding little pockets. I quite like that. But that is really the only other thing I think we can do. There's a couple of people in the comments speculating about a Luca Dean and Moreno double act down the left-hand side. Now, we know that Emery has done that with left-backs throughout his career. He did it at Villarreal with Estupiñán and someone else who the name's completely escaped me, so apologies for that. But he did used to do it anyway in La Liga in Spain. I like the thought of it, but it's not something I say that we'll put into practice.
Yeah, I like the thought of it. I thought, actually, that he might do that in the second half of the Luton game when things were going against us. I was in the Villa WhatsApp that I'm in, saying, you know, perhaps
you take Rogers off. What's WhatsApp group that you're in, Dave, that I'm not part of?
Just a few Villa fans that I'm in. WhatsApp group. Okay. I thought he might do that in the second half against Luton and maybe take Rogers off a little bit earlier than he did and then sit Luca Dean in, well, behind and probably push Moreno a little bit further forward. But The fact that he hasn't done it yet makes me think that he won't try it from the start in this magnitude of game. That's not to say that it won't be something that might happen in certain situations, but I just can't see it happening for this one.
No, we do feel a little bit limited at the moment in terms of what we can do to not refresh the teams. Obviously, we've got a good team anyway, but even in terms of changing the game and bringing people on, I mean, it looks like it's a masterstroke, isn't it, last week? You know, change your left back and your left back scores the winner. But I don't think you can rely on that kind of thing every week at the moment. I do feel like Emery's a little bit hamstrung, not just by the volume of injuries that we've got, but even just losing a central midfielder and then Dendonka obviously going as well, you lose the option really to play McGinn wide, where I really like him in that box position. I don't know whether you saw it, but did you see that behind the lines on, is it called behind the lines on TNT with Emery and between the lines? That's what I was looking for with the way McGinn was talking about playing the different positions. I love him in those wide positions and the way he tucks in when there's an adventurous fullback that side of him. I think that's when Villa are at their best, and that's when McGinn's at his best as well. But we can't. He's not going to play Tim in this game, I wouldn't think. So it does feel like we're a little bit hamstrung, and then it's actually turned out as well that Tielemans, who we bought to compete with Luiz and Kamara, has actually turned out that really his best position for us isn't as a six, it's as a 10. So we lack anything that we can really do to kind of change midfield because people are injured and because of the circumstances that I've just mentioned.
Yeah, I mean, it's simply, for me, it simply is because of the injury situation that we've had. You know, a lot of teams have had injuries, but there really isn't anyone that Unai Emery, it feels like, can rely on to come in. It feels like the time's running out, really, for Zaniolo. I don't think, you know, really he's going to be part of Emery's plans. I think if he was, he would have had more minutes in the last month or so. So, you know, that's obviously disappointing. But really, who else is there that he can turn to at this point to mix things up a little bit? The only way that he can do that is kind of moving players around within that 11, I think, at the moment. You know, whether he does end up moving Tielemans out wide. I think, you know, there's been a few question marks. And, you know, I've questioned it myself around Tielemans' physical output when he first joined and also back when he was at Leicester. But, you know, I looked at some of the numbers for his last couple of games and he's right up there for distance covered and sprints.
Yeah, he does feel a bit more energetic, doesn't he?
Yeah, so, you know, I think we can almost put the criticism or you know, perceived criticism of his physicality to one side because the numbers are stacking up that he is able to contribute and also play 90 minutes as well at that intensity. So, you know, I think the last time he played on the left was against Newcastle and, you know, that was obviously a poor game. Or started on the left anyway, I think, you know, and that was a poor game from Villa's point of view. So whether, you know, Emery will try that again or whether, you know, it all rests on Jacob Ramsey, really. If he's fit, he plays. And then it's kind of as you were from Villa's point of view.
Yeah, I mean, I've completely forgotten what I was going to say. This is what happens when we do a late night podcast. I was in the gym early this morning and I've completely forgotten where I was going to go. Oh, I've got it. I was talking about bench options. I think in a game that I think there will be goals in this game, but I don't think anyone's going to be taking a hammering here. I think it will be close. I think that's maybe where Spurs do have a slight advantage in this game in the forward positions. They're going to have two players not playing who are good options off the bench. Brennan Johnson has been making a hell of an impact off the bench recently. I think it was Kulusevski, Son and Werner was their front three in the last game. I believe Richarlison's fit as well. So, out, you know, with that, those five forward players, they're going to have the options to come on and change the game. I think that's going to be something that Villa are going to have to be wary of as well.
Yeah, I don't know about Richarlison. I thought he might have had a longer term one, but I'm not too sure.
I saw something earlier, it could be wrong.
I haven't seen the latest from Ange today, so he could well be fit. But and you know, Richarlison is another one. Really, the way that Ange Postecoglou has dealt with him, you know, Richarlison has had, you know, has spoken about his mental health this season, about issues that he's had off the pitch, and you know, for the manager to be able to deal with that in the media so well, reintegrate him into the team, give him that confidence. You know, he's another one that Postecoglou has almost turned round within the space of a few months. You look at someone like Pap Sarr as well, you know, who
good player. Under the radar.
And then last season, who would have, You know, I certainly didn't think that he would play such an important role this season as he has done. And now, you know, he's almost one of the first names on the team sheet for Tottenham. So they have got options. I think it probably will be the same front three as it was last week in Werner, Son and Kulusevski. And, I, you know, thinking back to the away game now, Kulusevski caused us a whole heap of trouble, the positions that he was taking up.
Yeah, good player.
In the Tottenham home game. So, you know, you've got to try and negate his movement and his running. I'm just looking forward to it. It's going to be such a good game. And it's, you know, and you said it before and I've said it before, you watch games differently now with Unai Emery in charge. And, you know, you're going to be watching the game, but you're also going to be watching where every player is on the pitch and trying to work out what the manager's game plan is, how he's working out how to beat the opponent. Who's he kind of matching up in 1v1s and saying, get at him and take him on. It's just going to be fascinating. I can't wait for it.
Yeah, I'm the same as you. I think it's going to be a really, really interesting affair. Get absolutely annihilated in the comments, not because of audio, but because we don't do predictions anymore, Dave, which is silly on my behalf because I do a Who Scored Premier League preview every week and I have to predict all 10 games and I am winning the predictions league out of myself, Jonathan Wilson, Sam Tai and George Ellicott and whatnot. So big names, household names there that I'm beating in the predictions league. And I quite often do get the Villa score banger in that league. So we should do predictions, Dave. Let's do them. I'm going to go for 2-1 like last season to Villa.
And I'm going to go 2-2.
2-2, Dave. A draw, depending on how the game goes. If it was like a heroic comeback, a draw is not a bad result for Villa at all. If we're 2-0 up, like we have been a few times recently, and we draw 2-2, obviously that's not as brilliant. So, forgive me, someone said right at the start of the show, I've kept it in my mind, but I can't seem to get the chat to move down, so I can't see who it was that asked it. I've got a feeling it was David Styles, but I could be wrong. So I'm here for the Dave Reid spicy take, and I feel that should be something that we should introduce to every show now. Right at the end, Dave Reid gives us his spicy take for this game.
I'm not sure I've got one, to be honest. I don't know.
There it is, David. It was David Styles. What a memory. Yeah. What a memory.
That was brought up very quickly there.
It was. It was early doors in the pod.
Yeah.
Come on, Dave. We need your spicy take.
I'm trying to think what the spicy take will be.
Could it be a niche goal scorer? Could it, you know?
Could be it. I'll go. Should I go like Matty Cash to score and give it to the Spurs fans?
The Spurs fans would not be happy with that. Matty Cash is not a popular man across Tottenham Hotspur social media. Let me tell you. I like that from Steve Webster. Smells like a 2-1 to the Villa. I'm with you there. Steve Webster, that's the page that I'm on. Right then, David, let's quit while we're ahead. We've had good audio. It's been an enjoyable show. Let's go before Adam does something wrong. Right, subscribe to the channel with you. People think that, like, I'm horrible to Adam, and I love Adam very much, but whenever I say anything about him, I can see him. No one else can see him. Dave obviously can as well. I say it because I love to see his reaction when I say something about him. And he probably thought after half an hour he was clear, but he's not. I've managed to get something in right at the end. Someone's Paul 160889 said Marty Cash winner. That would be a spicy take if it sounds a bit like Marty McFly. If Marty Cash scored that, because that's some unknown member from the Cash family. So that really is a spicy take there. Right then, let's go. Everyone who's going to the game on Sunday, be as loud as you possibly can. I think it will be an unbelievable atmosphere at Villa Park on Sunday. And I am very much looking forward to going and seeing a lot of Villa fans there in fine voice. Subscribe to the channel with your post notifications on. I feel like I'm safe to say that now that we've sorted our audio issues. If you're enjoying the show, give us a like as well. Let's get to, I'm going to go ambitious. Let's get 700 likes. If we hit 700 likes, then Villa will definitely win on Sunday and definitely get top four. So more than 700 people, I would assume, would watch this on YouTube. So yeah, I need 700 likes from you this week, please. Subscribe to the channel and subscribe wherever you are taking in this podcast as well. And leave us a comment, leave your predictions in the comments as well. I'll be back with Greg on Monday for an 1874 podcast where we will look back over the Villa and Tottenham game and hopefully we have something positive to talk about. Been a pleasure, Dave Reid. Thank you for joining me. Thanks to Adam as well for producing. And yes, have a good weekend before we get to Sunday and up the Villa.
Sports Social Podcast Network.